Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations. Have you ever wondered what the Old Testament has to do with the New Testament? I know I did as a child growing up. The Bible is one story because it's all about one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible also has one message and declares only one way of salvation. From beginning to end, salvation in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament is all by God's grace alone, by faith alone, and in God's promised word in Christ alone. This is God's only plan and the only one way to be saved in both the Old and New Testament. One of my favorite stories to teach children that I love to do is found in the Old Testament. It's a story of Naaman and the little servant girl found in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. This was during the time of the divided kingdom when Israel, the northern kingdom, was having trouble with their neighbors to the north, the nation of Syria. But Israel and Syria were not neighborly. They were enemies. But oddly enough, this story in God's word is not about an Israelite. It's about a Syrian named Naaman, who was the arch enemy of Israel because Naaman was the captain, the commander of all the armies of Syria. The Bible then goes out of its way to describe Naaman as a great man, an honorable man, even a mighty man of valor and courage. The Bible then also says this intriguing statement that it was through Naaman that the Lord had given victory to Syria. Here we see God at work in Naaman's life, as well as in the nation of Israel and in Syria, revealing that God is sovereign. God is a supreme ruler and reigns over all the nations, including Naaman's life. But in 2 Kings 5, verse 1, after all these descriptions about Naaman, the Bible ends with an abrupt statement saying, "But he was a leper." Naaman had leprosy, which is a skin disease that spread throughout the entire body, causing the skin and flesh to be disfigured and even disformed. The problem with leprosy was that there was no cure. It was a terrible problem. But you know, the Bible tells us that we have an even worse problem than leprosy. It's called sin. Sin is a disease of our heart that not only affects us outwardly, but it penetrates the very core of our being. Sin is anything that we think, that we say, or that we do that displeases God and breaks God's law. Sin is when we want to do what we want to do, and we disregard God, we disdain others, and we disobey God's law. The Bible makes it clear that we are all under sin and have broken God's law. There is not one of us who on our own can measure up to high and holy God, who is altogether perfect and righteous. Romans 3:10 through 12 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who does good, no, not one." But not only are we all lawbreakers before the eyes of God committing sinful acts, we are sinners by nature. It is who we are and what we do. Someone has rightly said, "We are not sinners because we sin because we are sinners." Sin is our master. Sin is our born-in bent. And on our own, we are not able not to sin. The end result of our sin is eternal punishment and separation from God. Sin is a terrible, universal problem, and it's an even worse problem than the problem that Naaman had, the problem of leprosy. Naaman knew that there was nothing that he could do on his own to be healed of his leprosy. No person could help him, no one could heal him, and none of his false Syrian gods could help him either. Only God, the true and living God, the creator of heaven and earth, could heal Naaman of his leprosy. But God was already at work in Naaman's life to bring Naaman, to draw him to himself so that Naaman would know the true and living God. The Bible tells us then going forward in verse 2 that there was a young girl who had been taken captive by Syria in one of their raids in Israel. And now this same little girl was a servant in Naaman's home waiting on Naaman's wife. You see, God had a plan. God was at work in Naaman's life, but also God was at work in this little girl's life, all to draw them to himself so they would know him and proclaim him to others. We can trust, too, that God is at work in our lives, even when we don't understand things that are going on and we go through difficult and hard times. I love the verse in Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God has a plan for your life, and God has a plan for mine. God's word assures us that we can trust in him for all of our days and all of our tomorrows, for he is our hope. We can face each day knowing that God is our Creator. He made us. He loves us. And ultimately, even in the midst of our most difficult circumstances, God is drawing us ever closer to Himself so that we would grow in knowing Him more and more. We do not know very much about this little girl. We don't, in fact, even know her name, but there is two things that we do know about her. We know that, first of all, that she was from Israel, and we also know that she knew the true and living God. Listen to what she says to Naaman's wife in verse 3. "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Can you believe it? Somehow, some way, this little girl who had been forcibly taken from her home in Israel had come to care for her master Naaman and his wife. It is clear that she wanted Naaman to be healed from his terrible disease of leprosy, but even more than that, this little girl wanted Naaman to know the true and living God, and to also know that God had a prophet in Samaria in Israel, the prophet Elisha that God had sent. Do you know what this little girl was actually doing here? That's right. She was being a witness of the true and living God. Just like this little girl was a witness, God wants you and I to be a witness for Him to others. Isaiah 43:10-11 says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there is no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior." If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God wants you, just like this little girl did, to simply open your mouth and to tell others about Him so that they can know Him too. And this is what God wanted Naaman to know, that God is God and that He alone is the Lord and that there is no Savior beside Him. So what do you think Naaman did when he heard the news that there was a way for him to be healed of his leprosy? Well, you can believe it. He got up like scat, went to his master, the king of Syria, and told him what this servant girl had said from Israel. And then what do you think the king of Syria did? Well, actually, we don't have to guess. The Bible tells us. The Bible says the king of Syria said to Naaman, "Go to go," or in other words, I translate, "Go man, go, go now, go get your chariot and your servants together and get into the land of Israel and get healed." But before Naaman left, the king of Syria decided he was going to write a letter to the king of Israel that Naaman was to take with him. Then also Naaman departed, leaving for Israel from Syria, taking with him not only the letter, but also 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels, pieces of gold, and 10 changes of clothing, all to give as gifts for his healing. So Naaman jumped into his chariot and off he went with his servants and went into the land of Israel to go see the king of Israel. But when the king of Israel read the letter from the king of Syria, he was not happy. He had a conniption fit. The letter from the king of Syria read, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel saw that, he was so distraught, the Bible says, that he tore his clothes. He said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends him to me to heal him of his leprosy? See, they're just trying to pick a fight with me. They're just trying to get in an argument with me so they have an excuse to come down and fight against us." Well, meanwhile, Elisha, the prophet of God in Samaria in Israel, he heard what was going on and he heard what had happened with the king of Israel. And so he sent a message to the king, basically saying, "Calm down. Why have you torn your clothes? Just send Naaman over to me. Let him come to me and he will know there is a God and there is a prophet in Israel." So off Naaman went back into his chariot again, and then he came and stood at Elisha's door. But Elisha didn't come out. Elisha instead sent his servant. The servant told Naaman, "My master has told me to tell you that God told him that you're to, you know, turn your chariot back around and go down the Jordan River and go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh will then be restored to you and you will be clean." Now, what do you think that Naaman thought about that? The Bible says that Naaman was angry. He was, in fact, furious, the Bible says. You see, Naaman had it in his mind that this prophet, you know, the so-called man of God, would come out and he'd do a little dance and wave his hand and he would call upon the name of his God and then, woof, you know, then leprosy would be healed. Naaman was offended that the prophet didn't come out to greet him, but he was even more offended that he was to go and wash in that muddy, dirty Jordan River. He said, "Aren't the waters back in Syria better than those rivers? Could not I have washed in them and been clean?" And then the Bible says this, that Naaman turned away and left in a rage. What's the problem here? Well, you see, Naaman's fundamental problem is that he wanted to be healed his way instead of God's way. See, there's only one way for Naaman to be healed of his leprosy, just like there's only one way for you and I to be healed of our sin. Salvation is the same whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. We are saved by God's grace alone, by faith alone, and in God's promised word and in Christ alone. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to my Father except through me." Jesus and Jesus alone is our one way to be made right with God. That's why Jesus, God's Son, left his home in heaven, was born on this earth as a baby, where he became human flesh and blood. Jesus is God, very God, and man, very man. He is God and man in one. I love 2 Corinthians 5:21 because it plainly tells us what Christ did for us on the cross. The Bible says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Christ filled up all righteousness for us in our behalf, living a perfect life. Then Jesus willingly took our punishment, became sin for us who knew no sin, dying the death that we should have died, so that when we believe by faith alone in Christ, who is God's Son, and what Jesus did for us, that he died for our sin, he rose again, just as the Bible says, not only does God forgive and take away our sin, washing it away by our trust and faith in Christ, but also at the same time, God gives, imputes to us Christ's very righteousness. This is a picture of our salvation, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. How then are we saved? There is only one way, all by God's grace alone, by faith alone, and in God's promised word and in Christ alone. And this is what God wanted from Naaman. Naaman thought the prophet would come out and call upon the name of his God, but God wanted Naaman to call upon him, all by faith alone and because of God's grace alone, for Naaman to put his trust, his hope solely in God and God's promised word alone. But Naaman almost missed it. He almost drove his chariot right back to Syria, but his servants got his attention before he got too far. They said, "Master, if the prophet would have told you to do something great, would you not have done it? Why won't you then just do this little thing and wash and be clean?" So the Bible says that Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times, just like the prophet said, according to God's promised word. And on the 7th time, Naaman was healed. Naaman's flesh was restored to him, as the Bible says, that his flesh became like the flesh of a child, and he was clean. Naaman then tried to offer gifts for his healing to the prophet, but Elisha refused. He wanted Naaman to see that God and God alone had healed Naaman of his leprosy. The Bible makes it clear that when Naaman was healed of his leprosy, that wasn't the only thing that happened to him that day. Naaman went back to Elisha the prophet, and this time he talked to him face to face, saying, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." That day, Naaman became a believer in the true and living God, the creator of heaven and earth. But none of it would have happened except by the grace of God, and also God using that little girl that God placed in his home to tell him about the true and living God. A couple years ago at our camp in Washington, at Camp Good News, there was a young girl who trusted in Christ as her Lord and Savior. And Chris Kellow, our camp director, he told me that he challenged her and also the other campers that came to camp that week to not to keep this news, this good news about the Lord Jesus to themselves, but to go and tell others, their family and their friends about Jesus so they would come to know Jesus too. Chris, our camp director, then gave to all the campers that week a wordless bracelet that had 5 colors of the wordless book to remind them of the message of salvation: gold for heaven, dark for sin, red for the blood of Jesus who died for our sin and rose again, clean for forgiveness of sin and Christ's righteousness when we believe by faith alone in Jesus, and then green to remind us that we should be growing in Christ. Well, this little girl, she got her bracelet, and she took this challenge seriously. About 2 weeks passed, and then Chris, our camp director, he told me that he got a message on his voicemail, and it was this little girl. And this is what she said. She said, "Hey, tell Mr. Chris I told 3 of my friends about Jesus, and 2 of them got saved. But I need some more gospel bracelets because I don't have any more, because I have even more people that I want to tell about Jesus to so they can get saved too." Well, what a precious story. You know, this little girl, just like the little girl in the story of Naaman, was doing the same thing. She was simply opening her mouth and telling others what she knew to be true and how they too can know the true and living God and his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's promised word that he has sent. May each of us today take a lesson from both of these little girls and ask the Lord to help us to be bold in our faith and be bold in telling others about Him so that others, including the future generation and even those who are outside of our circles, so they too may know the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week as we remember and reflect in God's only one way of salvation from beginning to end that's found in Christ and in Christ alone.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.